Our gospel lesson this morning is from Luke's gospel. We'll hear chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. Hear the word of God. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he'd come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Something powerful arrested my attention a couple of weeks ago as I walked toward the front door of our home. There in the front garden, in the inanimate stillness and the apparently quiet, drab, dark earth, supple, fragile, yet undaunted green shoots awoke my weary eyes as if to rebuke the unrelenting winter. And they began to cry out that in no uncertain terms was winter going to have the last word, the final say. So I was elated. I was inspired. I was comforted. And I was hope-filled. That which made my gloomy eyes giddy with delight also unleashed my muzzled mouth to exclaim to everyone along the way, "Do you see it? Spring is coming. New life, warmth, sunshine, the unbridled rejoiced choruses of winged friends, the regal splendor of gold and purple crocuses will triumph over the oppressive dark and cold of winter." And then I awoke Thursday morning in a bit of a panic as hearty thick snowflakes wafted down outside my bedroom window. And for a moment, I wondered if I had slept through spring and summer and fall. Had I slept through the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup? Under my breath, I found myself saying, "Don't get your hopes up, Al." The dark gray day, the fallen snow, came like a party pooper. My cries of unbridled rejoicing in previous days had been swallowed up by this chilly, biting wind. My joy was doused, my vision darkened, my hope was derailed. I thought, is there anyone or anything that you can really count on? Now, I'm always of two minds when I enter our gospel story for today. I wondered again at this on-again, off-again, waffling confidence and hopeful anticipation of the disciples, awaiting Jesus' conquest of his kingdom rule and reign. I thought of the many experiences of the disciples of Jesus, the miracles, the promises, the newfound hope combined with the vision of their Lord and King riding in expectant triumph up the hills to Jerusalem. How easy to get caught up in the unrestrained joy and proclaim with the throng, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And as it is, as it was, and will be the case for a long time, the good news that was being proclaimed is met with resistance. The Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, order them to stop." And as we gaze back upon the path to Calvary, we find the way being prepared by God through his prophets. God's good news is his word of reconciliation. It's his word of salvation for the whole of his creation, cosmic in its scope and sway. And it has blazed the trail through the barriers, through the walls, in the constructs of human resistance, like an unbridled fire that would never be quenched, like a flood no dam could stop. Friends, the gospel has spread. Even the seemingly powerless, the fragile, and slightest green shoots we all know can rent apart the pavement and concrete of human ingenuity. Friends, remember that not long after the resounding sounds of heavenly angels rang in the night sky over the startled heads of shepherds, words akin to those in our lesson, "Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And Herod tried to snuff out Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees had made it their mission to find fault with God's word made flesh. Zealots fought with vigor to overcome a humble and peaceful vision with their own conquering, power-filled, and militaristic vision. Even Satan tried and continues to try everything in his power to douse joy, darken vision, derail the mission, and destroy the faith of the Son of Man and his followers. And even then Stephen? Stephen was stoned to death, and Saul, who made it his business to snuff out the light, was blinded by it. He then continued to bear the light as Paul. And even the darkness of prison could not quell the joy in him. Even more recently, threats have been but empty wind. The scientific age fell far short of reasoning the good news away. Oppressive governments like China and Russia tried to legislate the gospel out of existence. And their empty wind only served to make the gospel burn even more brightly. Even the church itself, even the church itself has at times been one of the gospel's worst enemies. It prompted such reflections from the late Tony Campolo in his book, How to Be a Follower of Jesus Without Embarrassing God. Friends, we can interpret, argue for, and against, be selective in our emphasis of certain passages of Scripture. We can vigorously defend dogma and doctrine. Yet what endures is the simplicity and potency of the gospel. Repentance, faith, the kingdom of God, as it was, it still is, bewildering. Foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. Sense the sorrow untold as you look down the road at the clamoring crowd drawing near. Feel the heat of the day as you look down the way. Hear the shouts of Hosanna the King. O daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Come now, little foal, though you're not very old, come and bear your first burden bravely. Walk so softly upon all the coats and the palms. Bear the one on your back, oh, so gently. Midst the shouting so loud and the joy of the crowd, there is one who is riding in silence, for he knows the ones here will be fleeing in fear when their shepherd is taken away. Oh, daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. Soon the thorn-cursed ground will bring forth the crown, and this Jesus will seem to be beaten. But he'll conquer alone both the shroud and the stone, and the prophecies will be completed. O daughter of Zion, your time's drawing near. Don't forsake him, oh, don't pass it by. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. On the foal of a donkey, as the prophets had said, passing by you, he rides on to die. In the well-crafted depiction of Jesus' life and ministry, in the cinematic series, Jesus of Nazareth, The character of the Jewish leader Nicodemus is played by Laurence Olivier. And in a poignant scene, a week after the heralded Messiah rode into Jerusalem in a veiled victory parade, we find this day Jesus, the convict, walking among a very different throng, bearing a cross on his bleeding back. And the unrelenting light of the gospel, it blazes away into Nicodemus, and we find him saying the words that you'll soon see on the screen. And while we ponder these same words, let us listen to and think about the Lamb of God. Friends, even the closed lips of the sacrificial lamb could not quell the wonder-working power of saving, the saving work of God through Jesus. Between the admonition of the Pharisees to stop until the cry we hear again this coming Friday, it is finished. We will hear other cries amid the joyful shouts of praise. Betrayal. Who? Who could it be? Take this cup from me, O God. Are you still sleeping? This is the one. Put away your swords. You are one of them. I do not know the man. Barabbas, Barabbas, crucify him, crucify him. Yes, even the ultimate threat, Christ crucified, became the very seal upon the assurance of God's love and forgiveness. Nothing and no one can arrest this good news. It cannot be restrained. If principalities, powers, and politics try to stifle the word of God, it lives steadfast, unflinching, despite everything flung in its path. And if anyone or anything tries, says Jesus, even the stones will cry out. And in Matthew 24:35, Jesus declares to us that heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will never pass away. Friends, Jesus Christ was and remains a misunderstood power and force that the world and its categories and presumptions cannot contain. Despite all attempts to thwart the work of the gospel, the redeeming, saving, and life-giving work of God in Christ, it's relentless. It's unflappable. Yes, there is something. Yeah, there is something, and there is someone that you can really count on. The unwavering Jesus and his unfailing eternal word. Let us pray. O God, who in the beginning brought order out from the midst of chaos, who called into being light and symmetry and color and texture and character and personality, we, your people, offer back into your creative care and your constant love our chaotic world. We're flummoxed by what we are seeing and hearing in these days of tumult. Our lives within and without have become unhinged and unglued. Irritation and misery are all that seem to resound upon the earth. We yearn to abandon our dark motives, our stubborn independence, our bland, apathetic responses, and the distorted image of yourself in us. So we pray, open us to your mercies for today, and bolster our trust in your steadfast love, your prodigal blessings, and may they sustain and guide us through today's unrest and tomorrow's unknowns. And while we are very cognizant of how out of step we are to your grace-filled and gentle approach, the approach made from your birth to the cross, we want to welcome the King who lays down his crown and lays down his life, who does not count equality with God as something to be grasped. We want to welcome the humble King who draws the weak, the rejected, the poor, and the child into the center of the conversation, where they are beheld and beloved. Oh God, we so appreciate the extended family of faith who walk with us and uphold us when the way is thorny and jarring, and who delight with us when the way is tranquil and smooth. But we grieve today the many who feel alone, and those who are really alone in this broken and beaten world. So, comforting Spirit, pervade and encompass those bereft of hope with a peace that passes all understanding. And prodding God, we long to witness today in the coming days the peacemakers toppling the power postures. We want to watch the waymakers supplant the gatekeepers and the wall builders. We yearn to see the hungry at table and the hurting on their feet. Make us, we pray, to be instruments and channels of your peace and justice. So nudging God, awaken and stir to life our collective energies and commitment to join you in the healing and reconciling work of your Son. And may the skirmishes we enter lead to all your children finding life in its fullness, diversity, and unity. We affirm together the truth that in Christ all things consist and hold together. So thank you for hearing our prayer in the name of the one who came that we might be one and one with you. Amen. Friends, in response in our collective, I invite us to stand and join together in a declaration of affirmation of our faith before we close our closing hymn. So let's stand together. And if you're able to say the words, I invite you to say them together. First Baptist Church, let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We believe in Jesus Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.